from the coldest studio in WDRT. We are in Studio
C.
C. This is View from the Bleachers. I am Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hey, buddy. Welcome
it's
to the
weird.
Show.
It's weird. We're seeing each other.
I know. We're looking right at each other. We are recording from an alternate studio within the DRT. Trudging on. We're professionals.
We are.
We're amateur professionals. We'll go right through it. You had a good week?
Yeah,
me too.
Good.
Another one. It's warming right up.
Except for tonight, and then it's going to snow. And
we're in spring. These are spring snows at this point.
Yeah, it's a big muddy mess.
Yeah.
I'd rather have it freeze up right now.
I got stuck in my driveway this morning. Yeah, it was no good.
It's either mud or snow.
Yeah, weather. What are you going to do? You want to talk about sports? I do.
I can.
You know, it feels like Super Bowl this weekend. The biggest football game and the last football game of the year is this Sunday at 5:30. I'm sure everyone who is listening, who has watched, who's into sports knows and has listened to all of the broadcasters talk about all of the angles. And it's a really, really controversy-free Super Bowl.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. The Chiefs have been here before. You've heard it all week. So they're professionals at talking and knowing what to say. And yeah, though.
It's cold.
Chilly. Lit a bonfire.
Yeah.
The Eagles, nobody has said anything. Nobody has come out and made a ridiculous statement that the media can get excited about.
I think they're both coaches are smart.
Yes.
You know, and Andy Reid's been through it before.
That's correct.
And that's one of the storylines with.
Well, that's
being
Andy Reid, a former Eagles coach,
yep.
coaching the Chiefs in the Super Bowl again.
Yep.
That's a nice, I'm sure that has not happened very frequently, if ever, in the NFL.
No, not the same coach doing.
Okay,
no,
that feels about right. Andy Reid is cementing himself the legacy as the second best coach of a generation,
right?
It's not Belichick, but he is right behind their former Green Bay Packers assistant and former punt, pass, and kick champion Andy Reid. has carved himself out.
You know that Reid fired Sirianni when he was on the Chiefs?
Is that right? That's nice.
Yeah.
That feels like if I was a betting man.
Yeah.
That would be worth a point or two. If I was in the Sirianni camp, I'd be keeping that in the back of my head.
Yeah. People asked him about that, and he was being very professional.
Went, sure.
It is what it is. It's business, and I understand the business side, but you know, deep down, he's going.
That's true. I mean, I've only been fired a couple times in my life as a head coach though. As a coach in football, you are fired all the time.
Yeah, I know.
You're probably, unless you get promoted and are great, you will get fired. Do you ever risk it of getting fired every single year?
Yeah, especially if the head coach gets fired.
Yeah.
The rest of the staff.
The rest
usually.
Of the, they're looking for a new job by halfway through the season. They know.
AKA Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can kick it down here farther, but since we're talking. I saw the Vikings hired themselves a real defensive coordinator.
Real one. I mean, I was.
Brian Flores should be a head coach in the NFL.
He should. The fact that he did not, because I thought for a while he was going to go for that Arizona job, but I think he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he knows that if you are successful as a defensive coordinator, you have a chance to be a head coach again. The Arizona Cardinals haven't been good in winning football in a long time. No, the Vikings got themselves the best defensive coordinator maybe in football.
Because he was just a linebackers coach and. Yeah. Defensive assistant
under Mike Tomlin for the Steelers. They weren't great, and they weren't an exceptional defense, but
they actually were.
As a head coach, Brian Flores was good enough.
Yeah.
Just missed the playoffs with a very terrible Dolphins team, was fired erroneously by terrible ownership for the Dolphins.
He was actually the defense on the running game for the Steelers.
Okay.
It was top 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they actually were the eighth for allowing yards.
And before that, he was a Bill Belichick defensive coordinator.
That's the connection, I think, because KOC was a rookie when he came to New England when Flores was there as a special.
There we go.
Yep. Yeah. So they know, they're familiar with each other.
Yeah,
so.
that was a good hire.
It was a great hire. We
could honestly talk for 30 minutes about why Brian Flores should still be a head coach and the law. He's filed a lawsuit against the NFL. He's currently in litigation against the league.
I thought they dropped that.
Did they completely?
Yeah, I think the league dropped it. I mean, they're not doing anything else with it. They found the tampering.
Yes.
But that was it. Okay. Everything else, they kind of went, no, you could do a civil case. And you okay. Just, I think. Right. So I don't know where that's at, but I know the...
But big get on the football side, big get for Minnesota Vikings.
Now, huge.
You can't you can no longer blame the coordinator
right.
for the defensive problems for a team that was a defensive player five away from making it far in the playoffs.
It'll be interesting. Flores really relies heavily on the safeties and the cornerbacks.
Sure.
I think in Detroit or Miami, he's one of the highest blitzing teams with safeties.
Yep,
he had great success. That the Dolphins' defense was not bad. Really fairly good.
No, there was
except for 2019.
Correct.
When he was forced to tank.
Right. Well, that was
that was that year.
He should still be a coach because his owner was asking him to lose games pretty please, and then fired him at the end of the season. So, yeah, we could cover a whole.
Yeah, right.
But back to Super Bowl. It's on the game on paper. You've got two of the best two offenses in football.
Yep.
The Eagles have run the ball better than any team basically in league history. More rushing touchdowns. Their quarterback has more rushing touchdowns. If they win, they'll be the first team since 1998 to lead the league in rushing touchdowns and win a Super Bowl.
Nice.
Their pass defense, their front four on defense, set the lead. They have more sacks than any team in history.
They're good. I mean,
so good. Yeah.
They're both the number one teams from each respective. And that's what it should be almost. I mean,
correct. Yep. You've got on the and that doesn't the Chiefs side. We're just talking offense, but. I mean, the
defense is not bad.
No, good enough to make it to the Super Bowl. But you've got Patrick Mahomes, who is on that early trajectory. He's on the Peyton Manning trajectory currently.
Yeah.
One more Super Bowl, and he slowly starts to move into the 10 years from now, maybe we're talking a Tom Brady.
Right.
How good is Patrick Mahomes? So, and if that's the case, then also Andy Reid might be the best coach. And, they've got...
Well, that's why they give him $500 million, didn't they?
Correct. Yes, they gave their... Patrick Mahomes is making $50 million a year and earning it.
But he got that 2 years ago.
He is, yep.
Which was, Anyway.
They're paying him correctly, and he's the best in football. Yeah. With no controversy, both teams are just the best at it. So whether you're into really good football...
Yeah.
Or commercials... Or junk binge eating.
Or Rihanna.
Or Rihanna at halftime. I mean, please, Rihanna at halftime.
I don't know if they're going to be able to top last year's, though.
Last year's was great. I mean...
Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre.
I will assume Rihanna. Yeah, I mean, I should have played a Rihanna song, by the way. Why didn't... Rihanna was the... Yeah, is fantastic. And so if you're into commercials, we'll play one next week. Next week,
Yeah, we can do that.
So you should watch the Super Bowl. If you don't watch the Super Bowl, watch the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah, right.
It's on at the same time. They've been on 20 years strong. They're both a real tradition. But, Super Bowl's going to be 5:30. 5:30 on Sunday. Kelsey Brothers. Brothers playing against each other in the Super Bowl.
Did you know that Andy Reid, I think, drafted Jason?
Is that right?
At Philadelphia years ago.
He was in 2011, Jason Kelsey got drafted, and I think he would have been...
2011? Yeah, maybe.
Well, I was also looking at on the offense, the Eagles have drafted virtually every player on their offense, except for A.J. Brown. They've drafted everybody, 10 out of 11 players, and the Chiefs have drafted two, Kelsey and Patrick Mahomes. On their whole...
Yeah.
On the,
yeah.
So... There's an argument that you can say you got to hit the trades and you got to trade for guys to win. Then the argument you have to draft. They're both correct. But you have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
The Eagles have drafted the right players. They've found those third and fourth rounders to be starters. The Chiefs have made the right trades, signed the free agents to the right deals. It was a... We look at, say, the Packers, for example. Right?
You want to go down that road yet?
I mean, if you're comparing teams, right? The Packers drafted a Darnell Savage and an Rashawn Gary in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been great. They've been, same thing, Eric Stokes. They haven't hit on these guys. Free agents they've signed, Adrian Amos looked really good for 2 years, and now you would love to cut him and have him not be on the team. Preston Smith was a two-year. Za'Darius Smith, same thing. If you swing and miss on free agents and drafts, you are not going to be good. Both these teams are a fantastic example of hitting on doing it the right way, picking a strategy and hitting it. Also, quarterback play. That's the Super Bowl. preview, like I said, if anybody is a sports fan, they know everything about this game coming up on Sunday, but I thought I'd just cover it. A game you maybe didn't see, the Pro Bowl. I watched the Pro Bowl.
Which game did you watch? I mean, there wasn't really...
Okay, it's...
It was spread out over a couple days, wasn't it?
I only watched on Sunday, and okay. By then, a couple things had already happened, but I watched three flag football games.
Okay.
I watched a tic-tac-toe with punters, kickers, and long snappers. Surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Long snappers carried the day. And then they had an obstacle course where the offensive lineman went over walls.
Oh.
Offensive lineman went through walls, I should say. The Sewell for the Lions.
Penny
Sewell. Yep. He's the hugest person and so fast. He ran through a wall and cartwheel and tumbled over it. Then they had guys on doing tires and back and forth.
I caught the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Yes.
Admittedly. And I went, oh, hey, that's Kirk Cousins. And he's missed.
You know, watching it, it was football on Sunday. So I watched for 3 hours.
Nice.
And you're going to like this. As a Vikings fan, Kirk Cousins was the MVP of the Pro Bowl. Because unlike his last playoff game, Kirk Cousins threw three touchdowns and won the game for his team in an exhibition where they wore flags and were not allowed to tackle or hit. Kirk Cousins was super, super good. I thought you'd like that. I can tell by the look in your eye. Yeah, he was also things that were fun for me. Peyton Manning, as the coach for the AFC, was calling the most complicated plays.
Yeah.
He said Omaha more than twice, describing plays, and he lost. And he was so mad at the referees. He was yelling at flag football referees during an exhibition on live television while his brother was getting a Gatorade bath. It was so good.
Did he have to get bleeped out? Because I loved it. It was here.
He was smart. And I'm sure as soon as those cameras went, he was really mad. He clearly did not want to lose to his brother.
No.
And every time that the quarterback would cross the line, the flag would be thrown. It was play dead. It's an offsides in flag football. Well, in real football, it's hard to tell a quarterback don't run when a lineman is allowed to come and tackle you. Over and over, it was offsides. And over, Peyton Manning was screaming at the referee that we talked about this before the game. We decided that wasn't good. He was so mad. That was great to watch. So also, Snoop Dogg and Pete Davidson were there as coordinators and consultants.
Sure. I mean, Snoop's actually really into
Snoop
football.
Snoop was really...
Because he's a head coach, I believe.
Snoop was, I think he called himself the defensive coordinator for one of those all-star teams. Pete Davidson was just hanging out. But yeah, Snoop Dogg knows football really well. He was a youth coach and his son played in college, I want to say. But yeah, Snoop's a huge sports fan. He shows up at every sporting event and he should. Surprisingly, Pro Bowl was kind of good to watch. Do you want to do music or do you want to go right through and do something else?
We've got 17 minutes. No, 16 minutes left.
I'm going to talk about the Brewers then because I can give real good minutes to this.
Quick before that.
Yeah.
Did you hear David Carr's comment when they interviewed him after throwing?
No.
Because it's his home practice facility,
sure,
technically,
yeah.
But the fact that he got sat and he's,
Right, yeah.
They interviewed him. What they say? They said, "Hey, Dave, you're pretty hot," because he nailed it. He had like 40 points.
Sure.
Said, "Dave, you're pretty hot out there today." He's like, "Well, if I wasn't any hotter, it's probably one of the reasons why I'm not going to be here next year." Right in the. I mean,
nice.
Players don't usually say that out loud or very obvious about it, but he was. I was kind of paraphrasing what he said, but he pretty much said, "Yeah, I'm not."
Well, there was an interesting thing with David Carr. If he would have gotten hurt in the Pro Bowl. He would have had a guaranteed salary of $26 million paid by the Raiders if he would have gotten hurt in this Pro Bowl game. I thought that was a very interesting, and he would have been a free – the Raiders don't want him. Thought it would have been a really interesting
February 15th, the cutoff. If he's still technically on the team after February 15th,
yes.
$40
million. So they really should have hurried up and cut him.
Well, he had a visit today with the Saints.
Interesting. Yeah, they have the carousel. I mean, we could also – I mean, we have – I heard Aaron Rodgers on the radio again.
Not going to San Francisco, but
he'd go to San Francisco.
You know, these fans are here. These Raider fans are pretty good.
After his 4-day in the dark, sitting in the dark.
I think that's coming up.
Once his mind's clear of that.
He was at Pebble Beach all weekend.
Yeah,
he won.
He won the Pro-Am. There was some people were doubting his handicap as a golfer at the Pro-Am, and he looks like a golfer. He also looks like a retired football player at this point. Yeah, he really looked like he was having a pretty good time.
But, yeah. Anyway, Badgers.
Yeah, spring training. This next week, pitchers and catchers report. Spring training baseball. Go Brewers, yes. I get really excited for pitchers and catchers showing up in Arizona to throw catch, to play a game of catch. I could really start talking Brewer previews. After the World Baseball Championship, or World Baseball Classic is this, it's the Olympics essentially, because sure. The Olympics aren't in baseball, is this month. So they get, once this is wrapping up, the Brewers have this week, next week, pitchers and catchers. You get your first exhibition games. I think they've got an exhibition game against the whole country of Great Britain. Mm. Is going to show up for a baseball game. The Brewers are playing.
They play baseball over there?
It's yes. Well, first of all, yes. A lot of military bases all over. Mm. Baseball is a pretty world sport. But also with this, if you could play for the British team if your like grandparents were British.
Right.
There's a.
I thought that they just played cricket over there.
No,
tennis.
All of they play all not as they play all the sports with fun nicknames and cool accents.
Yeah, great.
So after that, within the month, baseball goes from February till October. It's a magical sport. It really is. There's 25 spring training games and 162 real games. But just going to cover real quick things positively that happened to the Brewers. They were, if you watched them at all last year, one of the worst hitting teams in baseball. They were terrible. And their catcher specifically, they had the second least production from the catcher position of anyone in sport.
Okay.
They made a trade in the offseason, picking up William Contreras from the Braves. They don't say he's much of a defensive player, but Brewers have a really good pitching staff. What they don't have is hitting. William Contreras would have been far and away the best hitter on the Brewers team last year. He was an all-star. He hit 280. He hit 20 home runs. Both of those things would have really helped. He's a top five offensive catcher.
Cool. Nice.
25 years old. That was a huge, huge hole in that lineup. It is not going to be a lineup problem. They made some trades in the offseason. They picked with the Mariners. They picked up a couple names. Abraham Toro, Jesse Winkler, when they got rid of Colton Wong. They've got their depth in the—you need the depth.
Yep.
It's a long season. People get hurt all the time. You got to have a guy. Brian Anderson was an all-star with the Marlins in 2019, hurt a couple of years, hadn't played productive baseball in a while. He's signed. He's going to be on their bench. He can play infield, outfield. That's a useful name. They also, if they're healthy, Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, Adrian Hauser, Eric Lauer, that's a top three rotation in all of baseball.
Nice.
Especially 1, 2, and 3, and Eric Lauer pitched really, really well. But the top of that rotation, that's the best. Those are Cy Youngs. Those are monsters at the top of that. That as long as they have that and the lineup looks productive. They don't have Josh Hader in the bullpen. Josh Hader was the best reliever in baseball. Pretty much since he became the closer for the Brewers, he had like 4 years of just being unhittable. They traded him because he was getting to be just a little more expensive than the Brewers ever are comfortable paying anybody. So they traded him, and his trade was the catalyst for getting William Contreras. The guy they picked up in the Hader trade was used to get Contreras. So they have a lot of 100-mile-an-hour arms in the bullpen, like most teams in baseball. But Devin Williams was a rookie of the year, and he's definitely the closer material for the Brewers. They've got young guys coming up. They have, for the first time in a while, they have youth that is good. They're ranked as one of the better minor league teams. Garrett Mitchell was a first-round pick a couple of years ago. He's going to be an outfielder. You need four outfielders at least. He's going to be the fourth one.
You don't like baseball, do you?
I love baseball. I could talk. I really could. We could just talk Brewers every day, for 30 minutes every week. We could.
We're running out of time here. I want to play a song.
Ooh, let's do music.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
What is the song?
Ooh, we're going to play Stranglehold by Ted Nugent. It was from the Bad News Bears soundtrack. It's a 7-minute song. So if you want to catch our music, it's on Spotify on a playlist. I'm going to play about the first 3.5 minutes of this banger. I could legitimately listen to that song for another 4.5 minutes, but that really would kill the entire rest of the podcast. Yeah, just listening maybe. To the end of Stranglehold. I mean, I'll do it. That the first three and a half minutes of that song is just rock and roll, but the last 4.5 minutes is just sitting in a blue light on a couch, shag carpeting. It's a long, slow.
We could do Pink Floyd if that's the case.
I mean, yes, we can do one song a week. We could change format midstream.
I mean, I could also find, you know, maybe we could do Meatloaf Paradise by the Dashboard Lights for 14 minutes.
Okay.
Just use that as...
That's fine.
There's an instrument... Did you, by the way, a complete side note?
Sure.
There's a 14-minute instrumental of Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
Ooh.
Don't ask me. I found it one day and I went, karaoke.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's... Okay, next episode. Well, next week we're going to change it up then. Yeah. We're just going to do Meatloaf covers of instrumental Meatloaf songs. See how long this radio show really goes.
Yeah.
Veering back to sports. We're Badgers. They lost again on Sunday, 54-52. Northwestern has not swept the Badgers since 1995.
Ouch.
Ouch. Yeah. That is an underwhelming statement to make. Northwestern is not good at basketball. They never have been good at basketball. Apparently this year the Badgers are worse than that. Their bigs combined, the three bigs who played the most minutes, which were our friend Stephen Crowell, Tyler Wall, and Carter Gilmore, combined for 11 points and 12 boards between three people. Both Stephen Crowell and Tyler Wall were 2 for 5. Very little impact on the game. I watched, and it was boring. That was some really boring, old school, a lot of misses, a lot of man defense, a lot of underwhelming possessions, 54-52. They are not fun to talk about or watch. So I'm hoping that changes. They're trending very quickly out of the NCAA tournament. Yeah, they started really nice, and I was very excited, and now less so. It's a big week once again. They play Penn State, Nebraska, and Michigan on Wednesday, Saturday, and Tuesday. You have to win them. All of those teams have a record similar to the Badgers. All of those teams have the same, we have to win these. But I'm a Badger fan, so the Badgers need to win these three games to make an NCAA tournament. In big sports, LeBron James. Have you heard of LeBron James? He's a basketball player.
Somebody, I've heard of him passing.
He was in Space Jam.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he was in Space Jam. He passed Wilt Chamberlain, who you may have also heard of. Kareem. Sorry. He passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Passed Wilt.
Yes, passed Wilt. For the all-time leading score at 38,390 points. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the greatest scorer of all time.
He played to like his early 40s.
Yes, he had the most unstoppable move in the history of basketball. The skyhook, when a seven-footer can jump and put a ball that he... Yep. So good to watch, but LeBron James is the best of our generation.
Yep.
It'd be interesting if LeBron James would have played when Kareem played, he would have been a center. No way LeBron James would have been allowed to do the things that he does currently if he would have been playing in the 70s and 80s.
Even during the Jordan era.
Correct. LeBron James would have been Karl Malone.
Yeah.
I don't know and if Kareem would have been playing today, there aren't a lot of 7-foot, 230-pounders out there in the NBA anymore. Yeah. He was skinny.
Yeah.
Hard to believe a guy like that would be considered small, but he was skinny. LeBron James, once again, is the greatest basketball player.
Did you see the highlights of Kareem handing LeBron, legitimately handing him a basketball?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
And they lost.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the Lakers haven't been good this year, which...
They're all right in December.
Yes.
You know, they did pretty good because AD was playing.
Correct. When they only have LeBron James, aged LeBron James, 38 years old. He's not young anymore, but still grimy. He's still super fun to watch.
He's still at a high level.
Yes.
You know?
He's unarguably one of the greatest still playing.
On a side note.
What do you got?
It sounded like his teammates, like AD and a couple of those other guys, were not happy because they took time. They lost this game. They've been on a losing streak, pretty much.
Yes.
So here's LeBron getting all this hype. He's smiling and having his family's all there.
Yeah.
AD of one of them was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like disgruntled. So that's interesting.
Well, I mean,
because he brought AD there.
It's good to see because these are professionals, and it's nice to see that a guy like Anthony Davis wants to win, that he cares about winning more than he cares about individual accolades. Right. It's not going to hurt, AD. We got any more time to talk about anything in the world of sports?
Oh, hey, we're at almost 28 minutes.
Well, let's see. What did I? Bally Sport. Did we talk about that for the Brewers? Bally Sports. Hmm. They carried the Brewer games and the Bucks games last year.
Okay.
They went bankrupt.
Oh.
So Major League Baseball is going to be looking into propping up local so that people can watch the Brewers and the Twins and the Bucks. Mostly.
Really?
So normally I don't care about any of these big conglomerate bankruptcies, right, but this one actually
makes
I like being able to watch sports. So if anybody out there has a better way to watch Brewers baseball this year, get a hold of us, because Bally Sports carries 20 spring training games and all of the regular season games, and they're at risk of not existing come baseball season. So if anybody out there knows a way of around that, let me know. Take a deep dive into the internet. That's about it for the world of sports. Thank you all for listening. If you miss us on Friday at 9:30, check the WDRT archives or the Spotify under the podcast section. We will talk to y'all next week. Thank you.
Later.